Cold weather season is also cold and flu season, which you probably know from personal experience. But along with the colds and flu, health officials in several parts of the region are dealing with other diseases that are flaring up. In Jackson County, the current concerns include chickenpox and pertussis, better known as whooping cough. So what's going on and what's being done? Let's turn to the health workers for answers. We have three of them in the studio with us. Dr. James Shames is the Jackson County Health Officer. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. Ann Ackles is the Nursing Supervisor for Jackson County Public Health. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
And we also have with us Jackson Bowers, the Public Health Division Manager for Jackson County Health and Human Services. Welcome, Jackson.
Thank you.
So let's start just basically by the numbers. Ann, I think you're the one who compiled the most recent list of these, of the numbers of cases you're getting thus far.
So far, we have 34 cases of pertussis in the Jackson County area since 2014 began. So we're nearing the year's end. And that's higher than in previous years. In 2003, we had a record number of 133 cases, many of them being the young children. And then we really dropped down to seven cases, and we would love to see a year where we only see single-digit people that are having pertussis.
And it seems like out of the last 10 years or so that there have been a lot of years where there were just single-digit cases, but the occasional spike here and there. Mm-hmm. This would certainly seem to be one, as was 2013, where you went from 4 in 2012 to 23 in 2013, and you've already exceeded that number for this year. What do we know about any possible contributing factors?
Well, one of the things about pertussis is that it's cyclical. So every 3 to 5 years, there's often a spike, and then the numbers can go down again. And the other is that the vaccine that we use is, it has waning immunity, so that a number of years after folks are immunized, you are more susceptible to pertussis again. It's the trade-off we made to make the vaccine safer and have fewer side effects, but it unfortunately doesn't immunize quite as well as the original vaccine. And finally, I think there's more people who are choosing not to immunize or questioning immunizations, and so you have a larger pool of individuals who are susceptible.
But do I hear you saying that actually a weaker vaccine was developed just to make sure that there were fewer issues with the vaccine itself?
Yeah, and I don't know that we knew it at the time. We just knew that there were a lot fewer side effects. But as time goes on, it becomes clear that the vaccine doesn't produce as lasting an immunity as the natural disease in general or the original vaccine.
All right, so pertussis certainly on the rise. And then what's the story with chickenpox? Jackson Bowers?
Yeah, well, we also have cases of chickenpox in Jackson County, particularly in the Ashland area. Importantly, this is another vaccine-preventable illness. We don't have the particular numbers of chickenpox. Unlike pertussis, chickenpox isn't what we call a reportable disease, meaning that physicians and laboratories aren't required to report that to the local health department. What we do know is we have schools with several cases of chickenpox that have been reported to us, and we're working with the schools to try to implement control measures to try to protect the broader public health.
And does this appear to be a greater number or a greater outbreak than chickenpox gave Jackson County a year ago?
Yes, this year it is. We've seen an increase, at least in people reporting chickenpox. And usually we only know about them if you're having outbreaks, let's say in a daycare or in an actual school, some type of, facility, if you will, or a setting like that.
So, Dr. Shames, are there any points at which steps would be taken to restrict activities at a school or daycare or some other place where there might be an incubation going on of a disease like chickenpox?
Well, it's always a balancing act between keeping the public safe, which is really our duty, and the effects on a school district. And if you start to restrict a number of students for an entire outbreak period, that's a pretty major imposition. So, in the case of something like chickenpox with a 10 to 14 day incubation period and a disease lasting about a week, and if you want to make sure that you've protected the vulnerable individuals in a school for an entire two cycles, you could be keeping kids out of school for a month and a half if you're lucky. So we've been in discussion with the officials from the school district to figure out the most reasonable path. And there were some general meetings which were canceled, mostly for the safety of the vulnerable individuals in the community, such as infants, pregnant women, those who might be immunocompromised.
So, I mean, the rises, I'm assuming, since you're sitting here, are sharp enough to cause concern in both pertussis and chickenpox and ankles?
Absolutely. We really are trying to prevent people from getting ill and also spreading it unknowingly. And therefore, we're just trying to protect the community. If people want to get immunized, that's their choice, but then they need to be responsible about not spreading the disease.
And if you look at some of the vaccination rates, like in in Jackson County, we have about a 91% vaccination rate as a whole. Ashland, that's closer to 70-75%. And generally, as a general rule of thumb, you'd want about 95% of people vaccinated so you develop this herd immunity so the people who can't get vaccinated don't get sick. And with chickenpox in particular, the vaccine is 95% to 100% effective, at least at preventing a severe illness. You still may get chickenpox, but it's going to be less severe if you actually do get vaccinated.
We're talking to the health team from Jackson County about chickenpox and pertussis, cases of both on the rise in the county. You can join us on the exchange as we talk to James Shames, Jackson Bowers, and Ann Ackles. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook as well, and you'll see our guests in the picture we snapped a few moments ago. When we talk about vaccination rates, and I remember from talking to Oregon State health workers in the past, that it seems like for different diseases there are different targets for what you're shooting for percentage of people vaccinated. Is that right?
Well, it depends on how the disease is transmitted and the effectiveness of the vaccine and other variables. So for something like measles, for example, which is highly contagious, one of the most highly contagious illnesses we know of, the vaccine is remarkably effective. So it's about 99% effective in preventing disease if you have both of the series. The chickenpox vaccine is quite effective as well. Pertussis, as I said, is less effective. But the phenomena that Jackson talked about of community immunity is a very real phenomenon. And it's true even when the vaccine is only partially effective, like the influenza vaccine. We can greatly diminish the number of people who get sick and die with the flu if we can just get enough people immunized.
Kind of a multiplying effect, it sounds like, where you just get more people who are not able to really get the disease because they've been immunized.
Right. And others who perhaps can't get the immunization. You can't immunize a very young baby. You can't immunize somebody who's on chemotherapy, but you can protect them through the herd phenomenon.
Are there any particular connections between the diseases? Anything that makes pertussis and chickenpox, in essence, wander together as a pair, or is it just coincidental they're showing up at the same time in Jackson County?
Can't think of a connection per se.
All right. Pertussis, let's talk about these in turn then. Pertussis is the bigger concern. I know, Jim, you brought some sound effects in here to give us some illustration about what goes on with the disease. But it is called traditionally whooping cough, and there's a lot to be said for why it sounds like that.
Yeah, I can play a little MP3 file of a baby with whooping cough, and I think it drives the point home of how exhausting this illness is. I mean, you can picture what's going on here. Let's see how well this works.
Wow, that is an amazing sound. What causes that whooping sound, that sharp intake of breath?
So pertussis is caused by a bacteria which has a toxin. And even though we have antibiotics that can kill the bacteria, we can't, once the toxin has occurred, has already started damaging the cells in the airway, it takes weeks to months for them to regrow. And during that period of time, the buildup of mucus is a choking phenomenon, and the smaller your airway and the less strong your respiratory muscles are, the more likely you are to make this whooping sound as you try desperately to bring air in, and that's what you're hearing.
So, and then how contagious is pertussis, and how is it usually spread, Ann Ackles?
It's actually very contagious. It's one of the higher, measles being more contagious potentially, but it's very contagious. It's spread through droplet, and so when someone coughs or sneezes, that air particle is in the air, and it's then spread onto objects, or other people breathe them in, and they are now exposed.
Because this seems like something we talk about a fair amount and never quite get an answer that seems to stick, at least with my brain, but how long will germs, for example, exist on a hard surface that can be touched by other people on a, I don't know, a doorknob or a pen or a tabletop?
It really varies tremendously. Mm-hmm. Some viruses can encapsulate themselves and put on a hard shell and resist exposure to the elements, and they can last for weeks, like hepatitis virus, for example. But others are fragile and they don't live long, and a lot of bacteria don't survive terribly long on inanimate objects.
Let's talk then about, we've been talking about pertussis, let's talk about chickenpox. I mean, a lot of us had this as kids, and we went through the itchy phase with the little pustules and stuff. What is going on in chickenpox that makes it do what it does?
Well, you know, it used to be considered a rite of passage. Kids got it. It was an annoyance for many. It was an itchy, terrible week for some. The problem is that for a few, it's a really serious illness. I mean, if you think about hundreds and hundreds of open lesions on your skin, the chances of getting a serious bacterial infection are pretty high. The disease can manifest itself very aggressively, again, in the very young. Those are immunocompromised. Pregnant women, they commonly will get pneumonia with chickenpox, and it can be fatal. It's like so many diseases that if you're lucky and well-fed and, you know, all the circumstances are right, it's something that passes you by. But for others, it has very serious consequences.
Jackson Bowers, when you talk about reportable diseases, you said the chickenpox is not a reportable one. I mean, so who determines the list, and then at what level do you begin reporting, or are you always reporting some diseases?
Yeah, the Oregon Health Authority establishes that list, and they send that out to all counties, all our communicable disease programs. And so we maintain this list, and also that gets sent out to laboratories and medical providers. But it's done by the state Oregon Health Authority.
All right. Some of these I have to wonder, too. It seems like when I had chickenpox when I was about 8 years old, I don't think that we got to a doctor. So even any medical authority would have treated somebody, wouldn't have known about that case. Is that a fairly standard thing?
Yeah, and that's an important thing to note when you look at some of the incidence of chickenpox, pertussis, really any communicable illness, is it depends on how well it's reported. And so you'd need to go to a physician, you need to get diagnosed, that has to be reported to the health department. So any given year, there's a certain amount of underreporting that actually occurs. So you never really know the true incidence of any illness going on in a community.
When we talked about the ways in which pertussis is spread, I want to get to the same place with chickenpox, Ann Ackles. What things do people need to be aware of when people have chickenpox, or at least are aware? And what is the incubation period before symptoms show? I mean, are people communicable before even that time?
Up to 4 days before chickenpox lesions break out. You can be exposing other people. So being aware of who you've been around and being able to notify them. Perhaps you have a grandmother that's got an illness or on medication for rheumatoid arthritis. That might actually make her more susceptible. You want to make sure you're informing people when your child has broken out with the lesions.
And the lesions themselves, I'm going to guess, and these are the pox themselves, mm-hmm. or the itchy things that you want to scratch, but you're really determined not to. And then how should, if parents are handling this themselves, what should they be doing, A, to make the child feel better, and B, to keep the child from spreading it to other kids?
Sometimes simple medications for itching or pain can be beneficial. You could put something on your child's hands to keep them from scratching, cut their fingernails short, keep their hands clean. Those are all helpful things. And again, just keep the illness within your home and try not to spread it to those who shouldn't get chickenpox.
Dr. James Shames is the Jackson County Health Officer. Ann Ackles is the Nursing Supervisor for Jackson County Public Health. Jackson Bowers is the Public Health Division Manager at Jackson County Health and Human Services. We are talking about chickenpox and pertussis, both apparently on the rise in Jackson County. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area, 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org, or check out the picture of our guests on Facebook. Jamie in Medford dropped off a question. He wants to know what older people can do to protect the children they are around. And I think this was about chickenpox in particular. Maybe actually both. Let's do both.
So if I understood the question, what can a grandparent do about children? I think encourage immunizations if they've not been immunized. Actually speaking with the parent about who is their child playing with and where are they going. If they are susceptible with any health conditions, they need to really reconsider being out in active group activities where it might be more likely that you could get exposed.
And Jackson Bowers, what is the Jackson County Health and Human Services Department doing about trying to – I know that we had James on a couple of years ago to talk about campaigns to try to increase vaccination levels. I'm just curious to know where things stand with those.
Yeah, we're continually trying to improve the vaccination levels in Jackson County. There's also a site called ashlandchild.org, which is just an absolute a wonderful site in terms of providing factual information about vaccines, mm-hmm. their safety, and how effective they are. And it was really tailored, I guess, in a more user-friendly, non-institutional way. There was just an absolute great website. I know that that Dr. Shames was involved in helping to create.
Mm-hmm. And are we getting much, you getting much response from people to the efforts?
You know, it's a long-term educational campaign. But I think people appreciate having information that they can trust and to help them make those important decisions. And I agree with Jackson. AshlandChild.org is a really great site, as is the CDC site, as is the Jackson County site and the Oregon Health Authority sites.
We'll make sure we get the links up on Facebook to AshlandChild.org to help get people there. What are the cases then you make? I mean, for people who are afraid of vaccines, and you do get a fair amount of this, I mean, what can you say to allay their fears about them?
Well, it's pretty hard in the days of the internet with all sorts of information that looks completely valid. I would just recommend that people really think about sort of the basic scientific method that you need to be sure the data you're analyzing is real information that you can trust. And some of it is not and some of it is. The other thing I would recommend is that folks really remember that it's not an individual decision. It's an important decision for your child, but you can't escape the fact you're making a decision for the rest of your community. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the people that I come in contact with, certainly living here in Ashland, that's really important. We want to see ourselves as a global community, interconnected and interrelated, and vaccines are part of that. That by protecting your child, you're also protecting, you know, that older person living next door, the person who's on chemotherapy you don't know about, the newborn baby that you know, came to visit.
With vaccines, I mean, can a child who has been vaccinated actually have the stuff on their bodies, carry it around, perhaps infect other kids and not infect themselves or never be infected themselves?
In general, your ability to transmit the disease is much reduced when you're vaccinated against all these diseases. And sometimes you can get ill. You can get a case of chickenpox or pertussis when you've been immunized. It's usually much milder and much less likely to be transmissible to others.
How long has the chickenpox vaccine in particular been around?
I think it's about 18 years, something like that.
So before that, it was the kind of thing that kids just
right.
sort of expected to get.
In the 1990s, it mm-hmm. became available.
The connections between chickenpox for kids and shingles for older adults, can we explore that connection a bit and talk about vaccinations that work for that as well?
Sure. So varicella zoster, which is shingles, is really a reactivation of chickenpox. When you get chickenpox, it actually lives in the nerves of your body for the rest of your life. And sometimes it reactivates and causes these painful blisters that appear specifically in parts of the body. The new vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, doesn't eliminate the possibility of shingles, but it reduces it both in severity and frequency. And so, and there's also a varicella zoster vaccine for older adults, and that can greatly diminish the possibility of getting shingles.
So if you've had chickenpox as a kid, should you have the shingles vaccine
yes.
as an adult?
Okay. Yes, you should.
But if you never had either one, are you better off? I mean, you probably should get both, I'm guessing.
You know,
many years apart, probably.
The whole point of the show is the disease is still here, and if you've right. never had it, you can get it.
All right. What I want to come back to the, both of these just in general terms about what might happen if you continue to see a progression of both pertussis, whooping cough in Jackson County and chickenpox. Is there a book, Jackson Bowers, I mean a playbook for where to go if you start to see major outbreaks and start to think about curtailments of public meetings, things like that?
Yes, certainly. There are actually a lot of resources available through the Oregon Health Authority, and we work in conjunction with the Oregon Health Authority regarding any control strategies surrounding any outbreaks. Outbreaks are actually tracked nationwide from the Oregon Health Authority through Centers of Disease Control, so there are a lot of experts out there and a lot of good resources in terms of trying to tailor control strategies to the specific situation.
Now, I know that California's been having a rough time with pertussis. It looks like a real big year for pertussis there. Did the Jackson County numbers even come close to anything like that, Ann Ackles?
I'm not familiar with the California numbers. For our community, we think this is significant enough. As Jim said earlier, the cyclic nature of it, we're in double digits, and I definitely don't want to get to triple digits as we did in 2003. So we're trying everything early to try to get the word out that it's time to take action and immunize your child.
It's not too late then, I mean, for either of these, for either pertussis or chickenpox to get immunized for this season?
Absolutely.
And how extensive are the shots? I mean, how sore is a child going to be after they get this, any of that stuff?
For the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis immunization, the injection is usually fairly painless. I actually gave one at the clinic this last week, and the young child, he was probably 8 or 9, was surprised at I didn't even feel it. But a couple days later, your arm's going to be sore from that. And that's just a normal reaction to it. Same with the chickenpox vaccine. We can have some local reaction that might be tender, but that would be about it.
So a sore arm, and it is in the arm in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can
mm-hmm.
they be get done at the same time, or is it one of those things you want to space out just a bit?
No, they can be done at the same time.
All right. And general levels of cost if people don't have medical insurance? Medical insurance usually covers these preventive measures, doesn't it?
Medical insurance covers it, but there's also state-funded available vaccines that a person may, even as an adult, qualify for. Children, it is not a matter of cost. We will, at the health department, ensure that the immunization will be given.
Okay. Sounds like any question, call the health department in your own county.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Jackson Bowers is the Public Health Division Manager for Jackson County Health and Human Services. Ann Ackles, the Nursing Supervisor. Dr. James Shames, the Health Officer for Jackson County. Thank you all for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks.
Short break in the Exchange, and then back with Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac.